message today is Jesus, the one and only. Everybody say that. Jesus.
Jesus.
The one and only. Matthew chapter number 11. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. And you remember he said that he would do that. And now when John heard in prison, talking about John the Baptist, when he heard about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to whom shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played a flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he's got a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." I want to preach to you for a few moments in this quiet atmosphere. Jesus, the one and only. Lord Jesus, we pray right now that your word will stir us today and get our head back in the game. In Jesus' name. And get our hearts back on fire again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
For even the greatest in God's kingdom sometimes need reassurance that they are heading in the right direction. Two years ago, I was ready to quit this church. Sick and tired of doing the same things over and over and over and over and over. Even the greatest, even the pastors, even those who are stalwart and veteran members of the kingdom of God sometimes need reassurance that we are doing the right things. That we are where we're supposed to be.
That's right.
And so we got together, a couple of us brothers, and we said, "Brothers, we got to do something. We got to make up our minds that it's going to be all in or nothing. It's going to be all or nothing." And we began to pray together, and we began to seek the face of God. And we've been doing that now since October of 2016. We've been at it for 2 years. There are some days that we don't feel like praying. There are some days when we don't come to the church probably as much as we should. Some weeks we don't attend like we need to. But we're still plugging away, Brother Stacy. Still coming when we can. When we got an open door, we don't think to ourselves, "I'm going to sit down and surf on Facebook for a few minutes. I'm going to sit down and watch a movie with the family. I got an open door. the time slot. It's 6 o'clock. Can I get down to pray at the church tonight? We're still plugging away.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And opening up the soup kitchen through the vision of Sister Lois and Brother Philip and reaching out and baptizing nearly 36 people during this past time and just seeing God move so mightily in so many people. Hallelujah. It has been a tremendous, I don't know that this church has seen this kind of move of God in over 20 years, 20 years it's been since God has really moved this powerfully in the church. Hallelujah. We've had to remind the church time and time again, the revival is not over. This is just a season, a stage, a time of shift, a time of change. But it's a progression, it's a moving forward. Sometimes we look on the trials and the tribulations as setbacks. But as was said in our adult Bible class this morning, Brother Morris picked out the verse. Hallelujah, the furnace for the gold and the silver is tried in the furnace. And God tries the hearts of men to purify them. Even the trials and the tribulations that we've been through this past year and a half have only made us stronger, have only made us wiser, have only made us more powerful and understanding and effective in the kingdom of God. When we first started, we were just beating the air and swinging our arms wildly. But now when we punch, the devil feels it.
All right.
Now when we pray, things change. Hallelujah. But sometimes even the greatest in the kingdom of God need reassurance. You are doing the right thing. Who was greater than John? According to Jesus, there was no one who had ever been born that was greater than John. John was the gunpowder cap that shot the ministry of Jesus when God pulled the trigger. John was the rocket that delivered the payload of the greatest ministry that would ever explode upon the world of Israel. John closed the curtains on the epics of the ancient fathers and the lawgivers, the judges, the kings, and the prophets. John brought an end to all of the sacrificial system of the law of Moses when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Who was greater than John? According to Jesus, in the very same breath, everyone. Hallelujah. Even the very least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John, because Jesus was the fulfillment of every promise, every law, and every prophecy that had ever been given to mankind. And his kingdom was so much greater than the old kingdom of Israel that anyone who was incorporated into this new kingdom of heaven was greater than the greatest spiritual man ever born.
That's right.
Greater than John the Baptist. Greater than Noah. Greater than Job. Greater than Moses. And greater than Samson or Gideon. Greater than Deborah or Jael. Greater than Rahab, Naomi, and Ruth. Greater than King David or King Solomon. People say in the church, "I wish I was like King David." Friend, let me tell you something. King David would like to be sitting in your seat today to feel what you felt during worship and to know what you know when you go in your prayer closet and speak face to face with the Almighty King and Savior Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said, hallelujah, that the Old Testament heroes rejoiced to see his day, because even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than the greatest prophet and righteous man John the Baptist that ever walked the face of the earth. Greater than Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Greater than Esther, Daniel, and the three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the fire. Sometimes I wonder if we really realize how great we are under Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wonder if we truly fully grasp the power and the privilege and the promises that we have that are so much greater Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us of Abel, who made of our faith made a better sacrifice. Amen. Of Noah, who built an ark by faith. Amen. He talks about Abraham, who left his country, not knowing where he was going, by faith. That when he was old and his body was decrepit, and his wife barren at 90 years of age, by faith he birthed into the world. Amen. An amazing young man who would carry on the promises of God. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And then the writer of Hebrews said, "And the world was not worthy of those that walk the face of this planet under the grace and the righteousness of God." Every single one of those men and women suffered through times of uncertainty, and they all require reassurance from God at one time or another that they were in the will of God. And in spite of the unexpected and the uncomfortable and unfortunate situations that unfolded in their lives, God reassured them, stay the course, stay where you are, stand on the foundation, and do not let anybody move you or shake you. And so we see John the Baptist in our text today, and he's stuck in prison, and Jesus isn't exactly what he had expected. Revival wasn't turning out exactly as he thought that it would. And there in the dank stench of prison, scratching off the days on the cell wall and listening to the sounds of suffering around him and eating filthy food, John, the one who lived in the wild and wilderness desert places with the wild beasts and the animals, with the open air and views all around him, began to struggle in that little cell that he was in with the crux of his entire ministry. Who is this Jesus? Is he really the one and the only? Sometimes we question what we're doing. And without God's reassurance, it is possible to become offended and short-circuit what God is doing in our lives. It was John that said, "I must decrease and he must increase." But it's easier to say it than it is to live it. Sometimes our leaders don't go the direction that we think they should. The sons of thunder wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans. Judas wanted to build a financial empire. And Peter wanted to get his sword bloody. And none of the disciples of Jesus wanted him to die. And they all talked big about being willing to die for the cause. But in the end, they were all offended. And they all felt scandalized. And they all fell away and deserted when Jesus was arrested. Because it's easy to become offended. It's easy to get irritable and irrational and even fearful when things don't go the way that we think or that we thought they would. Even the greatest of us can get tripped. But when things aren't going the way that you expected and you're feeling disappointed and unsure, I like what John did. He didn't go over here to this one. He didn't go over here to that one. He didn't pull up YouTube on his phone and listen to Joel Osteen or Rabbi Zachariah or Joyce Myers or this one or that or the other. I like what John did. He couldn't get out of the cell, but he got a couple of his disciples that came for a visit. "I need you to go talk to Jesus for me." Friend, when you need assurance and reassurance, you're not going to get it from a pity party. You're not going to get it from this one, that one, or the other. Friend, when you need reassurance on what God has told you, you to do. You need to go right to him, to his face, and say, are you the one or not? Let me know if I should move on and look for something else. Jesus is up to the task. He will prove himself to me. We've got to make up our minds, church, time and time again. Jesus is the one and only. John the Baptist and his disciples and the disciples of Jesus had to make a decision. Am I going to be offended at this turn of events? Am I going to accept a Messiah with the present desire to rule kingdoms? Am I going to accept a Messiah that instead wants to rule the hearts of men and women? They had to decide whether to hold on to their personal ideas and interpretations of how events should be. They had to decide whether or not they would let God be God and accept the unexpected and unpleasant trials of the kingdom. They had to decide whether or not they were going to get snagged or let the inevitable offenses and even their propensity to be offended to go so that God in his kingdom and his plan could move forward through them in their lives and touch the lost people of this world. They had to decide whether or not that they would let their plans go and accept and submit and align with God's more perfect and complete plan. We could, if we're not careful, we could let ourselves be like the Pharisees. Hallelujah. They were offended by John the Baptist. He was austere and sometimes harsh in his prophetic ministry. They didn't like that. They were offended by the one and only Christ and his love for people and his unusual countercultural love and acceptance of the poor and uneducated. They didn't like that either. They said John's got a demon and Jesus is a drunk. They didn't like that. Friend, we've got to make up our mind. Are we going to take Jesus as he is, cross and blood and thorns and all? Or are we going to move on to something that seems greener to us in the other pasture down the road?
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's easy to look back at all the false starts and failed attempts than it is to stand back and say, this is it. Do or die. Hallelujah. We've got to make up our minds. We've got to make up in our hearts. Well, I thought we already had our minds made up. Well, so did I. But look where we are, John the Baptist. Look what we're thinking today. Hallelujah. We're finding ourselves bound and afflicted and eating the bread of affliction. And Jesus isn't ruling an army and driving out the Roman Empire. But he's running around healing people, preaching pretty messages and loving on sinners. What's wrong with this Jesus? Sometimes, amen, we got to remember why we got in this thing to start with. Sometimes we got to remember, hallelujah, who it is, hallelujah, that we serve and whose plan it is that we're following, and get ourselves and get our heads back in the game and put out the effort. 2016, I went hiking with Bob and Sue Clemens in the mountains of Glacier National Park. What an amazing adventure. 60 miles, 120 miles, I think, in the backcountry, 5.5 days, food, shelter, and everything, carrying it on your back. Man, I came back from that vacation. I can do anything. I am Superman. I am Hercules. I am Mr. Atlas. Hallelujah. And I thought, I'm going to run a half marathon. I'm going to go over there to Evansville and show them people how to run. And so I started training and I started practicing. And in the middle of the August heat and those dog days of summer, my knees started acting up and going out on me. And I began to realize my run is over with. Ain't going to be no race this year. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to stop doing that stuff and you need to you start focusing on the church and where the church is going to be and what's going to happen in 2017. And you remember in January of 2017 we had a summit called the Leadership Summit, and the title of it was Time to Grow. Amen. Growing the church in 2017. And things happened and things changed because I realigned myself. Amen. God said, I want you to do that right now. I know you feel like you can, but there's more important things in my kingdom and my plan. But if you're hallelujah, but God knows best.
Amen.
And we have to realign ourselves and make, is He the one and only or not?
Yes.
Hallelujah, Brother Anthony. I'm not talking about what you see in the mirror when you got up this morning. Hallelujah. The one and only. Trim that. I've got a stray one right there. I'm not talking about that, brother. Amen. You've got to make up your mind. Is Jesus the one and the only or not?
That's right.
We never hear what happened to John afterwards. We know that the Bible says that Herod had his head lifted off of his body. And we know later that all but one of Jesus' disciples all gave their lives preaching this message. Because instead of letting themselves become offended, they decided that Jesus was the one and only, that He was right and nobody else or nothing else mattered. And at that point, they were willing to lay down their lives. Let's all stand together today. I know that we've been going through some tough times. They sang it in the worship set today, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. But we have this treasure, and Brother Philip brought it in, I believe, when he was talking, and then they brought the song as connected to what you said, and say it says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. There is no other way to victory, but through the one and only. Hallelujah. Look at the publicans and the tax collectors. Jesus said, they're pushing and shoving each other to get in close to me, to hear what I have to say, to be touched by me. They're pushing and shoving. What was he talking about? They had him lined up at the Jordan River where Jesus was baptizing. They had him lined up at the Sea of Galilee where Jesus and his disciples were baptizing, and they were pushing and shoving one another to get in that water. Baptize me. The prostitutes and the demoniacs and the demonized and all of the sinners in the regions where Jesus went were pushing, and shoving and jostling. It was the only way they didn't have graces and know how to put the silverware and the napkins folded right at the table and have their handkerchief shoved in their pockets. I don't think I have one suit that ever had the threads on a pocket opened up. And you think to yourself, well, hallelujah, maybe you should. Maybe I should. And maybe I ought to go down and get me a manicure and a pedicure and get my teeth whitened up. Hallelujah, but I couldn't give you 5 cents for that junk. Hallelujah, I want Jesus in my life. I don't know any better way. All I know is that I've come to feel and sense and know that Jesus is the one and the only. All I come to understand is that Jesus is the only thing that I have ever seen this world to be real, to be consistent, to be true and steady and unmovable and unshakable. And time again, there is opportunity to be offended. Time and time again, there's opportunity for me to be upset and turn and run. I have seen the mother droves going from church to church to church because they can't get on over the offenses. But every time it comes knocking on my door, I said, no, Jesus already gave that the office. Jesus already laid his life down for me. You're too late. Jesus already shed his blood. There is no one else. There is nothing else. He is the one and the only one.
Amen.
In my life that matters in everything else falls into place. When Jesus is first, everything else works. When Jesus is my one and only, even my trials and tribulations work somehow out for good. Come on, church. It's time to pray and talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil's trying to shake you up. Oh, the kingdoms of this world are shaking and quaking right now as the devil rages against the church. Hallelujah. This is not for the weak of heart or the faint of heart or the wishy-washy or the half-hearted. It's time to make up our minds. Again and again and again, as many times as it takes for us to make up our minds. I'm going to push. I'm going to shove. I'm going to punch. I'm going to swing. Paul said, I beat my body black and blue. But I'm not beating the air. I know my target. And I bring my body under subjection to Jesus Christ. For to me, Paul said to the church in Philippi, is to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have this treasure. Cracked, fragile clay vessels. But God's surpassing power is in us. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost now. Now I know I just ran a half marathon yesterday, and I know that I have a runner's high, and I know that I can preach for another 3 hours and still be good to go. Y'all be all laid out on the floor, but not slain in the spirit. Hallelujah. But I do feel impressions of the Holy Ghost in this word. And I've been working on this message before I ran. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know that I've been following this passage of scripture for a while, right? And so I finished up chapter 10 last week. What came this week? Chapter 11. This is the word that we need to hear. God is in this, folks. We need to hear it. And we need to take it to heart. A minute to minute. Jesus is the one and the only one for me. As we sing, I want you to pray. And if you've been discouraged and you've been needing some reassurance, I want you to just come, pray where you are, pray at the front here, find a place and just give yourself to God right now, all over again. John the Baptist saw the heavens open. He heard the voice of God speaking. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He saw the Spirit of God as though it had taken the form of a dove and rested on Jesus. And God had told him, when you see my Spirit like a dove rest upon a man, that man is my Messiah, my anointed one. He knew all of that, but he needed reassurance. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our voices. And as they sing this moment in time of prayer together, let us let God reassure us one more time today. Jesus! Hallelujah. We feel the darkness all around, though, God, the lies, the accusations, the uncertainties. Oh God, we feel the disappointments.